Okay, let's pick it up here in John 10 and verse 11. John 10 and verse 11. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. His whole life is wrapped up in the sheep. Now let's understand something. If we follow Christ, is Christ wrapped up in our lives? Yes, he is. Has he given his life for us? Yes, he has. Does he continue to give his life for us? Yes, he does. You know, that should give us a whole lot of hope and courage and, you know, understanding and joy and, you know, make life being a Christian really life more abundantly. He gives his life for the sheep, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. In other words, no condition, no concern rather. The people are just merchandise. Another phrase is dumb sheep. All right. Verse 13, the hireling flees because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. So Christ is intimately involved in our lives. Let's go back here to, verse 15. Yes, let's go on back to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. And it talks about the shepherds. And it talks about the shepherds of Israel. And what has happened? Ezekiel 34. And the word of the Lord came to me here in verse 1, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Now, in this sense, it has to do with the shepherds, not only just the priest, but also the ones who are the leaders of the country. So you can liken the situation here that we see right now with Marcos leaving and the hireling, and, you know, the hireling is anyone who's in it for the money. Okay, was Marcos in it for the money? You betcha. That's what he got. Okay? And when the sheep were out there all bleeding and saying, hey, what's going on? Help us here. What did he do? He got out the troops and shot them. Finally, the sheep overwhelmed him. And I think it was fitting that it was a woman. Absolutely fitting. She's kind of like, if you wanted to draw in the Bible, she's kind of like a Deborah. And what did Deborah tell Barak? Said, oh, would to God there was a man that could do this, but there aren't. Now, Barak, go do it. See? She had to tell him what to do. So it's the same way with Cory Aquino over there. There isn't one man, that could stand up to Marcus. Okay, same thing. Woe to the shepherds of Israel that feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? We've seen this, haven't we? You eat the fat, you clothe you with the wool, you kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased you have not strengthened, neither have you healed that which is sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, and neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty you have ruled them. Well, that sounds just like the Philippines and sound like a couple of churches of God we know too, right? Same result, correct? Yes, indeed. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. And how many people have just gone around, drifting around, wondering, what should I do? Where will I go? I'll never trust another man again. I'll never join another organization again. Boy, right? Okay. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth. This is talking about Israel. We could say the same thing of the United States today. I pity this nation when Reagan is gone. He's not the best in the world. He's certainly not the worst in the world. But boy, if we get another wimpy like Jimmy Carter, we're through. I mean, it's And that's what's going to happen. Everyone's going to go their own way. They surely are. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not the flock. Therefore, O you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. It's day of reckoning coming. You know, and as a minister, I better keep that well in mind too. And we're not going to have a rule of cruelty and force. It just isn't going to be. And why is that needed anyway? Is it needed? I mean, is it needed? If we're going to follow Christ and live within the grace of God, why should there be cruelty and force? And hasn't there been cruelty and force in the situations we've known in the past? Yes, and we've all suffered through it. Okay? Needless to say, Christ said that he would feed them. I will require my flock at your hands and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. That's why there's so many little different groups. Not going to have this kind of feed going on. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock out of their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. And then he says, yes, I'm going to search out my sheep and so forth. Let's go back to John, the 10th chapter. Oh, there's another one. You just put in your margins or in your notes, Jeremiah 23. You can read about Jeremiah 23 in the prophets. You can also put in your notes there, Ezekiel 13, Jeremiah 23, Ezekiel 13. Ezekiel 13 are the prophets that prophesy out of their own heart. And they're like foxes in the desert, and you can't corner them down. Okay, now let's go back to John, the 10th chapter. John 10. It says, verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. That's one thing we need to know even more and more, brethren. We need to really know Jesus Christ. Not have an acquaintance with him. Not understand by just the hearing of the ear, but understand by the seeing of the heart and the leading of God's Spirit. Verse 15, as the Father knows me, even so know I the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. Notice verse 14. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Now, people read that and they say, okay, all the other nations are beasts and only the 12 tribes of Israel are sheep. That is not so. Anyone that God calls is a sheep, a lamb. Now, just hold your place right here because I want you to read verse 26. We have a definition of who is a true sheep of God by a reverse definition of who is not. If you know something that is not, then by definition you know what is. Verse 26, he's talking to the Pharisees. Who were the Pharisees? The Jews? Were they of the tribes of Israel? Yes, they were. Notice what he said. But you believe not. This tells us what makes a person one of the lambs or sheep of God. Believing in Christ is what does it. Not who you are or what you are or what your lineage is. Now notice, you believe not because you are not of my sheep. So there is no national or physical lineage or genealogy you can attach to that. Paul was sent to the Gentiles. When they were converted, they became the sheep of God. Any Israelite that God calls out of whichever the 12 tribes that God calls, they are the sheep. He's talking to the Jews and saying, because you don't believe, you're not my sheep. Okay, let's go back. Doesn't that help clarify it? Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. That is, those who were being called at that particular time. This is also a prophecy of all those that would be called down between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. There it is. Christ is the shepherd. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. And no man takes it from me, but I lay it down. Now we'll have a little bit more to say about what Christ did voluntarily to lay his life down and what he actually had to become to do that so that we could receive salvation in the Holy Spirit. I have power, that is authority, to lay it down, and I have power, that is authority, to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father. And there was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for the saying, and many of them said, he has a devil and is mad. And why do you even listen to him? And others said, these are not the words of him that has a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? So there was a great dispute that was going on. Okay, let's see if I've covered all the references here we need. All right, let's go back, finish the section on the flock and feeding the sheep. Let's go back to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter, the fifth chapter, has to do about feeding the flock and doing the things Christ wants us to do. 1 Peter, the fifth chapter, and verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. Now, I'm sure this has to do with age. It could have to do with ordination, but it has to do with age. At this time when Peter wrote it, he was old. And a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now that's a reference to when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He says here, verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you. Now you will notice how this ties right in with Ezekiel 34, where God gives the condemnation. This is 1 Peter 5, verse 2 now. Remember we read in Ezekiel 34 where God gave the condemnation because they didn't feed the flock properly? They robbed and stole and all that sort of thing? Now notice here's an admonition here. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly. Now notice the whole situation with the church then is an oversight. So maybe we can begin to understand more about how God wants things done. An oversight, not an overlord. But willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. That says an awful lot, doesn't it? Not lords over the heritage. We're going to see we belong to God. And I think if we keep that in perspective always, as ministers, if we keep that in perspective always, that then we're not going to put the people into this yoke of bondage which they had been in. It's a terrible thing to come out of the world and get out of the yoke of the bondage of the world and then get into a yoke of bondage in a church. And then play church? That's a terrible thing. And when the chief shepherd, that's referring to Christ, obviously, shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that shall not fade away. Okay, now let's go to John, the 21st chapter. John, the 21st chapter. And let's see how important it is to feed the flock. Now, it's important to preach the gospel. That is true. It needs to be preached. But here's something that's very important. How can you preach the gospel unless there's some flock behind the gospel to preach it? Okay, you can look at it that way too. Okay? You know this section right here in John, the 21st chapter. I'll just read verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, Feed my lambs. And that means with the Word of God, with the Spirit of God. And what's the best thing to do is to, how do they feed? Then you show them the Word of God, you let the Spirit of God lead them, and to grow in grace and knowledge of Christ. That's how you're fed, that you can grow unto the full stature and measure of Jesus Christ. The whole purpose in it. I just drop over to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and we'll just touch base here in a very fundamental scripture, Ephesians 4. And while you're turning there, we'll just mention that Christ went through that 3 times with Peter. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? That's a measure of how much you love God. As a minister, that's a measure of how much a minister loves God. Is he feeding the flock? Is he feeding the sheep? If he's not doing it, then he's not loving God. Okay? Ephesians 4 and verse 11. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Let's see what the purpose is. The purpose. We get a whole perspective on it. There have been many sermons I've heard where it ended right there at verse 11. And then now, folks, we have the hierarchy, and here's the hierarchy. Hierarchy's no good unless you have the purpose. Structure is no good unless you know what you're doing. Very simple. You build a ship to float in the water and it sinks, you have the right structure, right? Okay? For the perfecting of the saints, that is the maturing of the saints. How are the saints going to be mature unless they are fed? How are they going to grow unless they have the Word of God? They're not. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect, or that is a sincere, perfect Christian. But the word means perfect. How can you be perfect? In Christ. That's how you can be perfect. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now that says an awful lot. So, brethren, I do take these words seriously to myself than what we learn here. And I realize that as the only minister here, you're sort of stuck with me. So I'm glad you're happily stuck with me, if you view it that way. But if we're all yielding to Christ and growing in grace and growing in God's Spirit, then we're all going to grow together. And we're all going to mature together. And I tell you, there is nothing more exciting, exhilarating, and so forth than to really know and understand that Christ is with you, you're growing in grace and knowledge, and all the rest of the other things really don't matter. They'll all fall in place in their right time. There's nothing greater than that. And that's really, truly what an abundant life really is. It's not just the physical goods and things that we have. Now, let's go to Luke 12 and verse 32. Luke 12 and verse 32, and I'll end it here because we get into the other one, we'll get into another whole section, and since we had our comments at the first, I don't want to go ahead and take a lot of time and run way over time, and all that sort of thing. Well, we'll see how the time goes. Luke 12 and verse 32. Let's just go back to verse 31. It says, this ties in with that Matthew 6:25 through 33, okay? Luke 12, and verse 31, But rather seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Fear not, little flock. So we're not to fear. And how many times have we been made to fear? See, we're not to fear. We can confidently have that confidence and faith in Christ. Fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure. That's why we were called, for the good pleasure of God's will. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now that says an awful lot. That's the whole purpose then for Christ being the door, being the shepherd, and being the one that we follow. And when we do that, we will have the solution to all of our problems. That doesn't necessarily mean we'll solve every one of them the way that we may think, but Christ really is truly the solution to the problem and the answer. So let's keep that in mind, and next time we'll finish John the 10th chapter and maybe get on into John the 11th chapter and moving on up toward the Passover time.